In baseball terms, we're down to four, and Kansas City's won. What's more, Will Leach, who writes for Sports on Earth, is here to tell us what they're worth, meaning Will Leach is one of my guests this week for Three Stories You Should Know. Will, welcome back.
Of course. Thanks for having me, as always.
And we're also joined by USA Today columnist Nancy Armour. Nancy, welcome.
Thanks, Bill.
Will, I have already introduced the subject of your story, which is the Kansas City Royals, so take it away.
Yeah, you know, obviously the other three teams involved in the League Championship Series, the Cubs, the Mets, and the Blue Jays, they all have their own items of fascination. The Blue Jays are, you know, they haven't been to the playoffs in 20 years, and they have Jose Bautista and his epic mammoth bat flips. And of course, the Mets have the drama of being the Mets, and the Cubs since 1908 not having won a World Series. So it's strange how we've kind of already put the Royals in like the Yankees Cardinals team that we're sick of already, which is completely strange because last year they were the insurgents. It's a very kind of strange thing that I think speaks a little bit to how quickly we process things now. We are so in constant need of a new story that the Royals in the League Championship Series, which would have blown everyone's minds and did blow everybody's minds last year, now feels like old hat. It's weird how the churn happens.
Nancy, with just four teams left, has Will convinced you that you should root for the Royals?
I think he's got a really good point, and it is interesting that, yeah, last year they were the cute and cuddly and fuzzy team that everybody loved, and now it's like, eh. But I do think it's more the cause of the other teams that are in than anything that the poor old Royals have done to the public consciousness.
All right, I'm just going to interject that it's going to be very hard not to root for the Mets, and I never thought I would hear myself say that, except when that guy stole third base because the Dodgers all fell asleep and forgot to come out of their shift and actually play baseball. How can I not root for the guy who did that? So it was wonderful fun. Nancy, you have been paying particular attention to what the NFL has been paying particular attention to. What has intrigued you in that sphere?
Well, one of the things that's been interesting this week is we've kind of seen the NFL play big brother, and not kind of, they really have been. You know, as everybody knows, that this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so everything in the NFL is pink, and you can buy pretty much anything NFL-related in a shade of pink. And one of the players who was actually one of the driving forces in getting this going is D'Angelo Williams, who now plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. His mother and four of his aunts have died of breast cancer, and he also has a daughter, and because this is genetic, this is something that he's going to have to worry about the rest of his life. So he has asked the NFL if he could wear something pink for the entire season. And the NFL told him no, which to me is just silly. And the NFL also kind of encouraged Twitter to shut down the Deadspin Twitter site for a while because it was playing highlight videos that the NFL felt was infringing on their copyright. You know, the NFL has so many problems, be it domestic violence, you know, the ongoing concussion crisis, and they choose to focus on uniforms and funny cat videos.
Yeah, this is what the NFL does. They have a history of focusing on disciplining people because their shoelaces are the wrong color and also hiding real issues, lying about them and being hypocritical about them. This seems to me like business as usual. Will, what do you think?
Well, you know, I think it's certainly consistent with what they really value, which is control and money. First, when it comes to the videos, you know, the courts is clearly seeing that these clips are fair use. There's no question about that. But the NFL has a deal with Twitter. Twitter wants to be in business with the NFL. So the NFL has done the same thing with television networks in the past to say, if you want our programming, you will do this thing that we command you to do. And Twitter did it. To me, it's the surprising thing is not that the NFL asked Twitter to do that. It's that Twitter did it. To me, that's actually almost the more disturbing part of it. But when it comes to the uniform stuff, you know, this is – you know, the NFL will certainly help you to express yourself as long as it is within the parameters in a way that they can personally profit from that. You can do whatever you want as long as they say that it's okay.
And they can make
really
money.
The NFL rule, of course, which is why they would say okay in the first place.
All right. I have to bring up my story very, very quickly because it may be about to go away. FanDuel and DraftKings, those fantasy betting sites underwritten by Disney, among others, partnering with the very league we've been talking about, the NFL, as well as the NBA and Major League Baseball. Anyway, it's all been banned in Nevada, where the scam is considered, quote, unlicensed gambling. Gambling! Are you shocked? Shocked to hear this? The New York Times, Frontline, the FBI, Congress, all investigating this. My opinion is that if you have any money riding with FanDuel or DraftKings, get it out now before the rush begins. They're gone, right? Neither of these prominently advertised clip joints will survive into 2016. Will, you want to take the other end of that?
No, I don't think they're going to survive. But it's worth noting that, you know, these places were not just born at the beginning of the football season. We just all notice now.
Like, because they started advertising on every possible space on television, billboards, buses. They're everywhere.
I find it very amusing to watch networks still trot out the FanDuel and DraftKings advertisements, even in the wake of all this news because of the current contract, to hear poor Jim Nantz be like, and now for the DraftKings stat report. And you know he hates it. You know he hates it. You know he hates it. Nobody has to do it. You know, to me, that's the worrisome part about this. You can make an argument that maybe gambling should be more regulated and maybe that these things aren't necessarily that horrible. But the problem is, once the leagues got in, we spent 20 years, decades, centuries of leagues telling us gambling is bad, gambling is bad, gambling is bad. And then we all turned on our television in September and said, no, this gambling is fine.
Maybe I shouldn't have said gambling. Are you shocked, shocked? I should have said hypocrisy. Are you shocked, shocked?
Oh, no, it's a game.
Appropriate.
No, it's a game of skill, according to everyone. No. No, it's not gambling. It's a game of skill.
Nancy, what do you think?
Well, I think it's, you know, it goes right back to what Will was saying before about the NFL. Hey, as long as they can make money from it, they're all for it, which is exactly what this whole thing with the fantasy gaming is. As long as they've got an in, they're fine. But the other thing that is completely hypocritical about all of this is the states that are cutting back on this, they're not exactly opposed to gambling. They're opposed to the fact that they're not getting any money from the gambling. If they can tax it, if they can regulate it, then they're probably going to be fine with it. One of the loudest voices in this has been the representative from New Jersey, Frank Pallone, and he's not anti-gambling. He is anti-gambling that New Jersey's not getting a cut of. So it wouldn't surprise me if we start seeing sports betting being legalized across the board.
My guests this week for Three Stories You Should Know have been Nancy Armour of USA Today and Will Leach of Sports on Earth. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Good discussion.